was? Easter. That was a great day. What do we celebrate on Easter? The resurrection. That's right. And then after a period of time went by, Jesus ascended back into heaven and to the Father. But he told us when he went away that what would happen? Yeah, that he's going to come back. Why is he going to come back?
When the four horsemen ride.
He's going to come back to take his church to heaven with him. And what an exciting time that will be. How many of you like to play games? How many of you have ever heard of a game called Hide and Seek? You like to play that game?
Yeah.
Okay, tell me how to play.
You go hide and...
Somebody goes and hides?
No, a lot of people go
hide. Oh, a lot of people go hide.
One person goes and seeks one person, but when you find one, when the seeker finds one person that hides, they have to help them find their own.
So how much time do these people have to hide?
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter?
Count to 10.
They don't count to 100 anymore. In the old days when I played, we used to make them count to 100. That would be a long... They would count 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. And they cheat and get in there sooner. Yeah. Okay, but here's the deal. There's a very important rule. The person who counts can't... They can't peek. That's right. They don't peek. But they can't look for you until they say what? Ready or not, here I come. See, that warns everybody that they need to be in their hiding place. They need to be ready. That's how you're ready for the game, is you're hidden. And that person comes and seeks you, and then when they pass your hiding spot, then you run back to the base and you're safe, and that way you don't have to be the one that's seeking everybody. There's a verse of Scripture that kind of reminds me of that game. It's in the 22nd chapter of the book of Matthew. And it reads like this. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. So Jesus resurrected from the grave, and then later he ascended to the Father. He sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven. The Holy Spirit is with us here now and comes into our heart when we ask Jesus into our hearts and things. But Jesus is going to come again, the second coming. And it'll be kind of like, ready or not, here I come. And what happens if you're not hidden when that person says, ready or not, here I come? They find you, yeah, because you're right out there in the open. You're not prepared in your hiding place. Well, as Christians, we're not really hiding, but the point is that we have to be ready. There's a way to be ready. So how do we get ready for Jesus to come again?
Get ready.
You get ready. Well, that's right. You get ready. Well, here's how you do it. The first thing is you ask Jesus into your heart to forgive you of your sins, because that way you're in a relationship with Jesus Christ, and when he comes for his church, then you're ready to go. And I am glad some of you are already saying you've already done that. And that's a wonderful thing. If you haven't done that, I would certainly encourage you to do that. And you can talk to your moms and dads about that. And you can talk to me about it. You can talk to your Sunday school teacher. And they would be glad, if you haven't done that, to help you understand how to ask Jesus into your heart and ask for forgiveness of your sins. And here's another important thing. Once we ask Jesus into our heart, how do we show other people that we have him there? That's right. We've got to let our light shine. And we let our light shine by living according to his word. Yeah, the Bible. God gave us some directions about how to live, didn't he? And so we show that we're ready by having Jesus in our heart and by living according to his word. So I think that it's a fun and exciting thing to play the game of hide and seek, but I think it's also fun and exciting to be ready for Jesus coming time, because we don't know when he's going to come. So we need to be ready all the time. And we want all of our friends and family to be ready too. So we need to tell other people about Jesus and what he's done in our life and how we like having him as our friend. Okay? Now, you're going to have a special day today, and you're going to go with Miss Mindy and have a missionary church, I think, because we missed it last week with Easter. And so we are so glad that you're here today. Thank you so very, very much. And you're dismissed to go now. Thank you.
getting close to our district convention, and the district has sent out some information that they'd like for all the churches to try to do. And there are, remember when we have done care packages before and we've all picked up little things and then the Missionary Society has put them all together? What they would like to do is do some packages that are called School PAL Packs. And these are going to be collected at district assembly, and these packs are going to be given to children who are in need of school supplies. So we're going to put on the bulletin board some sticky notes that you can take if you want to buy some supplies, or if you want to put a whole packet together, you can do that. But you don't have to worry about doing that if you don't want to. But here are some of the supplies you need to be looking for. They want two composition notebooks. This is what will be in each pack. Two composition notebooks that are not spiral bound, one package of number two pencils, one package of black pens, two pink erasers, two rulers that are 12 inches, one package of colored pencils, one pair of blunt nose scissors, and one handheld pencil sharpener. And if you could have all these together by May 18th, that would be much appreciated.
How many of you have had some expenses lately that you didn't plan for and weren't in your budget? Some of you are not being honest. Well, your church has just run into a couple of things that were not budgeted enough for. Our lawn mowing people have changed. The one that had been mowing our lawn for several years has retired. And
retired from ours. It's not retired completely.
Oh, okay. Retired from us. Maybe money had something to do with that. I don't know.
He was having back problems.
But at any rate, we have an increase of about $35 a week beyond what was budgeted for lawn mowing. I'm telling you that so you can pray about this and think about it.
We're hoping to secure new bids and make a decision on who's going to be doing it.
Okay.
Next week.
How many of you have a computer that has an XP operating system? Several of you do. I do. Well, if you're familiar with that, you know that as of this month, they quit updating that, and so there are problems that go along with it. And back here in our office and our video booth, there are some computers that need updating. So we have a couple of extra expenses that I wanted to make you aware of. It's going to take about $1,250 to update our office and video booth computers, and like for you to pray about that. How many of you will join in praying with me about this extra expense? Great. Great. And then give as God lays it on your heart. God will bless you when you go over and beyond. And I know some of you have. And I know some of you are continuing to. And we love and appreciate that. But you love and appreciate having the video and all of the information. And how would you like to come next Sunday and the grass be about that tall? Probably wouldn't like that very well. Well, maybe you would. But anyway, we just had a couple of things we needed to remind you of and ask for prayer. I'd like to have our ushers come at this time to receive our weekly tithes and offerings. John, would you come and ask God's blessings on our offering?
Heavenly Father, thank you once again for the privilege of returning unto you the tithe and an offering, freely given, not begrudgingly. Thank you that we're able to do it. Have thy will in thy way, and we give you the praise. Amen.
This morning, we want always to be mindful of those items that are listed within our bulletin. There are some things that we want to add to that list to make you aware, some updates and things. We do know at this point in time that Debbie Brandstein will be having surgery on the 5th of May, and Bruce then will be having his next surgery on the 23rd of May. So pray for the Brandsteins. They'll appreciate that as they're preparing. We have several people that are recovering. How wonderful it is to see Dee and Ken back in service this morning, and she's been recovering from her knee surgery. And then we encourage you to remember Joe Tallhelm and Ron Cherry and these others. Joe Tallhelm is a pastor down in Louisiana who used to be on this district, and Ron Cherry is Amanda's uncle. We want to be remembering in prayer. These gentlemen are battling cancer, as well as others in our church. Good to see Max and Sue here this morning. Always glad when they're able to be here. And Brother Ed, who is on the good side of a recovery, continuing to work past those things. And we thank God for victories. We thank God for healing and for deliverance in these situations. We continue to pray over many situations that are ongoing. Brother Ted is recovering, but has a surgery out somewhere in the future to finish up his knee surgery. And so we want to remember all of these folks. Also, I got a call, and I'm not sure of all the details on this just yet, but Brother Herschel, his daughter called me and said that she and her sister might be coming in and need to be here for about 5 nights, and they were wondering if there was anyone who might be able to house them. And so if you would be able to do that, you can let me know, and I'll try to get you in communication with them. I think that's supposed to happen about the middle of the month, but I haven't heard any more details about that. And then we remind you, as we're thinking about prayer, that indeed on Thursday, it is the National Day of Prayer. And so you'll have an opportunity, 7 o'clock in the morning, to be a part of a community gathering at the Bridge Church, which is the old Price Cutter. If you'd like to go there, there will be that gathering on the evening at 6:30 at Victory Baptist Church, a community prayer gathering, if you can't make the morning. And there are several churches that are going to have their sanctuaries open during the day. We're going to try to have our sanctuary open between 9 o'clock and noon here. If anybody would want to come and just have a place to pray, then you're welcome to come here and pray during that point in time. So you can take advantage of those things. And then we also, I think I've got this right, and Eric, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe Valerie is going to have a grand opening on Thursday of a new business that she is starting, a meeting and event center for small gatherings that is over on Main Street, the Cottage. And so we want to pray for Valerie and for the success of her endeavor there, and pray for their family, and that'll be an exciting time for them. And so we want to remember that.
So we ask you to stand with us at this point in time. We sing together. The altars are open to you. You feel free to come if you need a place to lay down burdens or to lift up praise, whatever the case might be, and continue to pray for these many ongoing situations as you go into your prayer closets each day. Father, what a privilege it is to gather in your house, to gather in your name, to worship together, to fellowship amongst God's peoples, our brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you that we have the assurance that you are able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we ask or imagine. Lord, you are sovereign God. And Lord, there are situations in our life that are beyond our abilities. They're beyond our comprehension. They're beyond our ability to think of solutions. But Lord, there's nothing that's beyond you. And so, Father, today we come with praise and thanksgiving in our hearts for the fact that you love us, that you sent your Son to die for us, that you've given us the gift of the Holy Spirit and your word to lead, guide, and direct us while we're here on this earth, but also that we have the assurance and the promise of a home in heaven, and that we indeed can know that we are ready, that when you come, that we can have our hearts prepared, and even though we don't know the time when you're going to come, we can know that whenever it is, that we are ready to depart the premises and to go to be with you forever in your heaven. Father, we thank you for that promise, for that assurance, for that peace. And Lord, today when we face the situations of this life, it is that promise and that peace that sustains us. It is that hope that takes us forward, past, and beyond whatever the enemy in the world might be trying to throw at us. And so, Father, we thank you today for your love. We thank you for your presence and your power in our lives. We thank you for victory in Jesus. We thank you for the companionship and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the guidance of the Bible. And Father, today we've come to lift up your name and to praise you and to honor you as you have asked us to do. And so, Lord, we come today laying down our burdens, lifting up our praise, saying, Lord, here are these situations that we can't handle. Would you intervene? Would you send someone or something, whatever the answer solution is to our challenges, Lord, that you would give us that which we don't even know about. Lord, when we committed to you our life, when we committed to you our situations, when we put on the altar what they used to call the unknown bundle of all of life and whatever is to unfold as we go from day to day, our future, Lord, we're reminded of the old song that says, I don't know about the future, but I know who holds tomorrow. And Lord, we know that today. We have that assurance. We thank you. We ask that you would touch these lives of the ones who are facing physical situations, those who may be facing economic situations, those who are looking at major changes in their life. Some people are changing jobs. Some people might be changing geographical locations. There are moves that have been made. People who have purchased homes. There have been situations that there's change and transition going on in our lives, Father. And we pray that you would be in the midst of every one of those situations and that you would bless and that you would protect and preserve and provide, Father, as only you can. Lord, we come today committing our lives to you, pledging you our allegiance, surrendering our will, and asking you to have your way in our lives. Father, we thank you for all that you can do, all you have done, all you're going to do. We owe you everything, and we give you our praise in the powerful and precious name of your Son, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.
Well, there is a note at the foot of your bulletin announcement page, and it tells you that if you have any interest in sharing a special number in song, whether it be instrumental or vocal, whatever the case might be, that information would be appreciated. Janet currently lays out our worship services and those things, but Sue in the office schedules special music. And so if you're willing to do that, we would encourage you to let her know of your availability and your willingness, and then she will get you on the schedule to help us. And we don't know everyone who is able to do that or wants to do that. And so, Sue, for those of you who might be new, Sue, wave at me back there. She's off to the other side of the sound booth. And so if you would just let Sue know that you're willing to help, that would help us a great deal. And we would be glad to use you in that way as we schedule in the special music for these services. Last Sunday was an exciting Sunday. We celebrated the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, we know that several days after his resurrection, that there was his ascension, as we talked to the children about, and he went to be with the Father in heaven. But in the course of his being here, he sort of gave some direction that I believe this morning, as we think about our church and as we think about our future, that would give us a growth strategy. Now, this that you're going to hear this morning is are basically the general principles. And so what we have to do then as a church is, as we understand these general principles, we have to put specifics to them that we can know exactly what our plan and our course of action is. And so we are working on that. And we had a great meeting on Friday evening, and we were able to accomplish some things that had kind of been hanging in limbo. And so we want you to know that we are excited about our small groups ministry. And there are currently three small groups that are going to continue ahead. One host site is at the Kravitz's house, and one host site is at the Swearingen house, and one host site will be at John and Linda Lewis's. And so there are three groups that are currently functioning, and you're welcome to be a part of those, and we encourage you to do so. If you don't want to be a part of small groups, then we meet every Sunday evening here at the church. And so one of the things that Pastor Don gave you, a couple of things that you can be praying about, one of the things that we're trying to do is to help the success of all of the ministries of our church. And so I would like for you to make it a matter of prayer. The request that was made out of that meeting, and it's going to be going to our church board and being presented, is that for the sake of continuum and keeping curriculum going that's in those small groups, that going a possible change that's going to be considered is changing from the first and third Sunday nights only to simply going to an every other Sunday night meeting time, okay? So you pray about that God will give the board wisdom and direction as to how we should proceed with that. And we want to do what we can to give support to our small groups. We believe it's a great ministry. We believe it's a great opportunity for people to come into connection that maybe don't necessarily want to walk into a church sanctuary at the beginning. So we're doing everything we possibly can to break down barriers and cut down obstacles and create opportunities not only for our own people to grow and to fellowship, but to create easy opportunities for people to come in and be connected to the church. The second thing that happened is that we were able to lock down a date. We had been kind of struggling with this, but we now have a date for Vacation Bible School. You'll be hearing more about that. Sunday School Ministries is going to vote on curriculum after this morning, and that will happen the last week of July. And the exact timing, I think they're looking at the possibility of working a Wednesday through a Sunday closing program. And so that would be a change in format for us a little bit. And we've talked about some different things, and we're trying to find the right way. So it's always a challenge when you're making changes and doing some new things. The third thing that's happening is that we indeed are going to continue our Faith, Family, and Fun Day. That will be the third Saturday in August. Potentially a year from now, we might be looking at a date change for that. But this year, it will be on the third Sunday in August. It's one of our greatest outreach opportunities in a single-day event that we do. We have usually around 300 to 400 people on our campus that day for that event. And we're going to make a couple of changes this year to help us to perhaps be more specific in sharing the gospel with those people as we think about that ministry. And so we think probably that the event is going to be shortened from a 3-hour event to a 2-hour event so that we can keep everyone on site for maybe the whole time. And then the conclusion of the day, it's always a nice, hot day in August. And they call those the dog days, you know. And so what we're going to do is we're going to air condition the sanctuary, and we're going to invite them at the conclusion of the day where we normally do our basket giveaways, which is the reason a lot of people come. We're going to do those from inside the sanctuary rather than outside on the field, and we'll invite them in the gospel presentation will be made right here in the sanctuary, and that'll give us an opportunity for them to realize that the roof won't cave in if they come in, and we've heard that line before, and so there's just a lot of things that are happening, a lot of changes are being made, things that we're trying to do so that we can more effectively minister to our community, do it in a way that will be friendly to them, but will be very precise and specific and on purpose, intentional, about giving the gospel to people as they come on. Because that's why we're here, isn't it? We're here to share Jesus Christ. That's our point. Everything that we do should point people to Jesus Christ. That's why we exist, and we want to bring them into that relationship. So I want to talk to you about this morning the basic principles of how we can have a strategy to have a growing church. And the bottom line is Jesus said some specific things that talked about lifting him up. And that's what we need to do in order to see the church grow, is to lift up Jesus, because he made a commitment in these passages of Scripture. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And I want to read to you a few verses there. And then we're going to read one verse from the 12th chapter of the book of John. The 12th chapter of the book of John. But we want to begin in Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 18 this morning. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" And I think he poses that question to every one of us individually. Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." And then in John chapter 12, in verse 32, it says this, "But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." I believe that we need to live our lives in such a way that whatever we do, whatever business we're involved in, whatever things that are ongoing, that we need to be lifting up Jesus in that process. When I was a younger person, and I would read this passage of Scripture where Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, on this rock I will build my church," I knew that the name Peter meant rock. And my first perception was that he was saying, you know, right here on Peter, Peter's going to be a leader. He's an outgoing, type A, aggressive person. "On this rock, Peter, the rock, I'm going to build my church. You're going to be one of the great disciples. You're one of the greatest." And we know historically that Peter had a great impact on a lot of people. And we know that when he was crucified at his own request upside down because he did not feel he was worthy to be crucified in the same manner as his Savior Jesus. We know that's a historical fact. But the truth of the matter is, that is not what that passage of Scripture means. The rock that is addressed in this particular passage of Scripture is the statement that Peter made when he said, "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." That is the foundation of our faith. That is the very rock upon which everything we do is built, that we believe that Jesus is the divine Son of God, that he was here on a mission to be an example to us, that he taught us the way to be in right relationship to the Father, and as we teach that faith to others, that indeed the kingdom will be increased. Jesus will be lifted up. I remember many years ago there was a radio program that was on the local radio here in this area, and it was a particular minister in Springfield, and he would always say at the conclusion of that radio program, "It does make a difference what you believe." How many of you believe that? How many of you realize that everything you do is based on what you believe? Whatever action you take, it's because you believe something about something. And so here are some things that I think we need to bring into our belief system that will help us as a growth strategy in our church. The first is that we need to commit to ministry. This is involvement. I believe that every person has been given gifts and abilities by God. And that as a Christian, that we should intentionally be seeking to understand what God has put within us to be used for His kingdom's purpose. I want to remind you of a passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 25. And in Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 15 and reading through verse 18, it says this: "To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more, but the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money." Now I want to jump to the 21st verse. "His master replied, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.'" That's what he said to the ones who had the 5 and the 2 and doubled their investments. And then 28, verse 28 of the same chapter, it says, in speaking to the one who hid the 1, "Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. Does that seem kind of harsh to you? And yet, it is the words of Jesus. It leaves me with the impression or the understanding that what God is saying is, I have given you something to work with, and if you will use it, I can bless it and multiply it, but if you don't even care to use what I've given you, then I will take it and give it to someone else. I believe that the inference there is that God intends for every one of us as a professing Christian to take what He's given us and put it into work in His kingdom. I remind you of a parallel passage of sorts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 7. "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." What do you think that means? The manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Who is it talking about when it talks about the common good? Everybody around you. So what he's saying is, I have gifted each one of you. You have talents, you have abilities, and I put them there so that you could be a blessing to the kingdom and to God with them. And if you will put them into use, they will be a blessing to all around you. People will receive good for the things that you do. And there are all kinds of different things. You know, one of the things is, as you read in these passages in Corinthians, you find that God says, "I appropriate them as I choose. So I've given to each one of you as I intended. And what I want you to do is use what I've given you in order to be a blessing to others." How many of you enjoy when Brother Bruce gets up here to sing a song? How many of you enjoy hearing Brother Bruce sing? How many of you can sing tenor high like Brother Bruce does? I can't. I'm envious of that. I always wanted to sing that high tenor note. But it's a blessing to me. How many of you are blessed when our piano players play the piano? How many of you are blessed by other people who sing? How many of you are blessed by people who are organizers, and when you're just trying to figure out how in the world to get something done, there are other people who just always seem to have everything together? And how many of you are blessed by people who want to be leaders, and you're glad just to follow them along, and if somebody will just tell you what to do, you'll be glad to help do it? Everybody has a place. Everybody has a gift. Everybody has something. But here's the deal. Part of the time we're guilty of saying, I'm not sure that what I have to offer is worth anything. I'm not sure that mine is valuable. I'm not sure where to plug mine in. I'm not sure. And so a lot of times we hide our gift. We don't put it to work. The thing that concerns me, the thing that brings sort of fear into my life, is to say that if I don't take what God has seemingly given to me and I don't use it, where else, who would he want to give it to? Because I don't want to lose it. And so it's important for us to plug in. It's important for us to find a ministry and be a part of what's going on. And I believe that as God has given us natural abilities and things that we're interested in, and I know some of these things can be affected maybe by environment or who we grow up around or those kind of things, but there are things that develop within us naturally, things that people are good at, things that people want to do. You know, my second son could take anything that consisted of a ball. If it had to do with a ball from the time he was a little baby until later, if it has to do with a ball, he can do it well. You know, doesn't even have to try real hard sometimes. But there are other people sometimes who can work really hard at something and they can get sort of up close equally. But God has gifted each of us, and we ought to take advantage of the gifts that he's given us to be a blessing to others. There are some people that are gifted with physical strength. There are some people that seem to just kind of by nature be stronger than other people. And if you need something carried or lifted up, you know, Justin and his family, they're moving into a new house. And they, you know, somebody with big biceps could have carried a lot of boxes yesterday or lifted up lots of furniture or whatever. And see, sometimes we don't think of that as a spiritual gift. Sometimes we think of what God has given to us or what we have naturally. We don't think of that as a gift. We don't think of that as a talent or an ability. When in truth, God needs what everybody does. You know, for those people who aren't cooks, the people who have the little restaurants or the delis or the Papa Murphy's takeout pizza or whatever, you know, where you can just pick it up and go stick it in your oven. It looks like you baked it, but you didn't have to put it together. Isn't that great? It's a gift. It meets a need. And that's what's happening in our society. There are needs out there. There are some people who can't do what we can do. And we put it all together, and it's for the common good. The manifestation of what you have and what God has gifted you with is for the common good. But now listen, there needs to be in the church what we call corporate accountability. Listen to these two verses in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. How many of you have ever said to someone, you tried to compliment them and say, you do something well, and that person would just kind of shy away from that and say, well, I don't bother. I don't know if I can do the, you know. Sometimes we need other people to help us see our own gifts. And we need to respect their thoughts and opinions, because the scripture says the way we can help each other is to spur each other on to love and good deeds. Now, how many cowboys do we have? How many of you in here have ever worn a pair of spurs? Okay. So you put the spurs on and they just automatically do their job, right? Just because you have them on, they look good and they make the horse go faster, right? You gotta prod that horse with those spurs. The reason they have those little points on them is for encouragement. Now, if you spur somebody too hard, you'll hurt them. But spurs can be an encouragement, can be motivating, or they can be debilitating. It says, let us spur one another on to love and good deeds. So part of what we have to do is we have to help each other recognize our abilities, even our interests and our talents. You do that really well. I was blessed because I can't do that, you know? The things that other people can do, particularly musically, that I can't do, that I wish I could do, that I want to do, those things really bless me. Because I know they put in some time and effort. Now, some people have natural gifts with some of that stuff, but I know there are also people who put in time and effort to get there. We need to take what God has given us and commit it to ministry. We need to know that it's for the common good, that He gave it to us on purpose to be used, and we need to be held accountable for using our gifts. If you can sing, if you can play, you need to be talking to Miss Sue and volunteering to be used in the service. That's because God wants to use your gift to be a blessing to other people. If you can organize, there are ministries that need someone to direct them. We just in our meeting Friday night, we didn't have a director for the Faith, Family, and Fun Day. And our last year's director signed up for another year after they had retired. And so we have a director now. Some people can do those things, and they do them well. And so having that organization is a good thing. How many of you remember, have read the quote, or how many of you maybe even heard it the day it was spoken, when a very famous individual in American history said, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country." Where'd that come from? John F. Kennedy. That's really kind of the attitude we need to have in the church. Don't sit around and ask what God's going to do for you. Take what God has given you and use it to be a blessing in His church. Use it to be an outreach to the world. Yes, we'll receive something from church, but we shouldn't come to church with only the intention of getting something. What happens is when we come to church and offer what we have, then we're blessed in the return. And so we do receive something, but we're also giving. That's our intention. That's our motivation. We don't come motivated to get and do nothing, but we come to give, and in giving, we receive. It's a great reciprocation. Commit to ministry. Find out what you have. Give it to God for His use. You get out proportionate to what you put in. Let's break the Pareto rule. How many know what the Pareto rule is? 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Let's just disprove that. And let's just all give what God has given us and be a blessing to each other and to our world. And let's reach out. Commit to ministry. The second thing is this. After our involvement, there is then invitation. Because once we plugged in and we're willing to do what God wants to do, then we need to realize there are people out there that we can connect with and we can invite people. I believe that Jesus connected with people intentionally. How many of you believe that? Say amen. I mean, just look at the Bible. It's filled with places where God connected with people. He could have gone on and just ignored them. He could have done different. But just think about just these three groups. Think about the disciples. Think about Zacchaeus. Think about the woman at the well. I mean, those are just three examples. Jesus went to the disciples and said, "Come follow me." He connected with them intentionally. Zacchaeus was fighting the crowd, and the crowd was fighting him off, and Jesus singled him out and said, "I'm going to go to your house. I want to fellowship with you." And the woman at the well was of an ethnicity that Jesus shouldn't even been associating with her, and the fact that she was of that gender, yet He broke all of those barriers, went outside the norm and the reasonable and practical for His society, and He connected with the woman at the well. And if you stop and think about it, what happened as a result of that? How many of you know that the disciples invited other people to come to Jesus? How many of you know that Zacchaeus went out and in the portion of doing restitution that he became a tremendous witness to all kinds of people as he returned four times what he had taken from people as a tax collector? And how many of you realize that the woman at the well was the woman who went back to her own community and she said, "Come see a man who told me everything I've ever done." Invitation with intentionality. Let me remind you of a couple of verses of Scripture. Turn you to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16. It reads this way: "Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." We're on a short chain here with time. The enemy knows he's working feverishly. Jesus is out there. The message is out there. What Christ did in the resurrection is out there. We need to connect with people intentionally because we want to share with them our faith. We need to make the most of every opportunity. How many of you believe, how many of you that are here would be honest enough to say, I think in my lifetime as a Christian, I might have missed at least one opportunity to witness? Okay. And so God says, okay, that's okay. I'm glad you realize that. What do you do when you realize that you've made a mistake? What are you supposed to do? Not make the same mistake again, right? And so the idea is that we want to connect with people on purpose. We need to realize, you know, there are even people out there. I have one of those stories where I had the opportunity to talk to somebody about Jesus, and I thought I would do it later, and then they were killed in an automobile accident. And there was not a later. And I missed my opportunity. And we can think about those stories sometimes. But maybe every story doesn't end that way. Maybe we will have other opportunities for that same person or maybe even somebody else. Make the most of every opportunity. This is what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord and always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. You see, when we live out Jesus, when we love like Jesus loves, when we live like Jesus lives, somebody's going to eventually ask you, what's the deal? Why are you the way you are? Why are you always smiling even when things aren't going so well? Why do you not get angry and berate people and things like other people do? How is it that you're... When you're living the Christ life, there's going to be times when people say, why? How? And the question is then, do you seize that opportunity to tell them? It's because of Jesus. It's because of the Holy Spirit. It's because of what God has done in my life. He's changed me. He's offered me a new life. He's changed my attitudes. He's helped me with my activities. How many times do we seize those opportunities to connect with people in that way? How many times are we out there every day speaking positively of the fellowship of believers that we're a part of? Are we staying on track? And when somebody speaks of someone in our congregation in a negative way, do we turn that conversation to a positive or do we agree? And you know the old saying, silence is consent. So sometimes it's not even enough just to not say anything. Sometimes we can just say something positive and turn that whole conversation. And, you know, the church is not really the building. So when people speak ill of the church as our local congregation, then they're speaking ill of all of us. And we want to turn positive. Maybe you don't like everything about the church, but there are things that you can like. Think positively. Speak positively. Connect with people. Invite them to be a part of the things that you get good from. And then we on the inside as leadership are also trying to schedule special kinds of events. That's why we do Bible school. It's why we have the Faith, Family, and Fun Day. It's why we do some of the revival and some of the other events we do. I remind you of a passage of Scripture in the 22nd chapter of the book of Matthew. Matthew 22, beginning at verse 8, and then he said to his servants, the wedding banquet is ready, but those I invite did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. We create events, mass type events, so that we can extend an invitation to anybody who will come. Because we want them to have the opportunity to hear the gospel. And it's perfectly all right that if we invite them in and provide everything for them, that all we ask of their time is to listen to the fact that God loves them and Jesus died for them. And give them an opportunity to know Him personally. How many of you think everybody ought to know Jesus? How many of you believe that Jesus made your life better? Then we've got a lot to offer. Which brings me to the third point. Not only do we need to commit to ministry, which is our personal involvement, and once we realize that, yes, we're going to be involved, that we begin to connect with people and invite them to our fellowship and to know God and to be a part of a relationship with Him, but then it's our responsibility to communicate the gospel, to indeed give out the information. How many of you believe that we have a great message to share? Look at John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, beginning at verse 14, it says this. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in Him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. How many of you believe that's a great message? How many of you know that even in history, there were people looking for what they called the fountain of youth because they wanted to do what? Live forever. What a great opening line. How would you like to live forever? How would you like to never die? There are so many ways to present this with things that everybody out there wants to hear about. Think about all the things that people spend all kinds of money on advertising to get people to be a part of. What effort are we putting into marketing our personal relationship with God? How much effort are we putting into marketing the fact that people can have their sins forgiven? That they don't have to pay the penalty of negative lifestyle? That God offers them grace and mercy and forgiveness and they can live with Jesus forever? That's a pretty good deal, isn't it? We want to seize the opportunities. We have a great message that the world needs to hear. Now, here maybe is the hitch. God chose a method to get the message out. You know what method He chose? Us. If it doesn't get out there, it's not because God doesn't want it out there. It's not because God hasn't provided all the information for the message. It's that the messengers maybe aren't carrying the message. Listen in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. How many of you believe that only preachers can preach? How many of you believe that only professional preachers are ministers? How many of you believe that every New Testament believer is a minister? And what do ministers do? And so God has said, I want all of you to go out and share what's going on in your life. And look over in the New Testament in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 20, he says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Isn't He indeed making His appeal through us? That's the method He chose. He did it on purpose. He provided us with the message, but He's also provided us with the ability and the desire and the boldness to give it out if we truly are listening and following His direction. Listen to these passages in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. In verse 8, so do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, His prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Do you get the inference that sometimes if we share the message, that it's not always going to be a positive result? Do you think it's possible that we might share the message with some people who really don't want to hear it? Do you think it's even possible that when we share the message, that some people might even want to do physical harm to us? Or wish for physical harm to come to us? 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. The truth. Do you think people really want to know the truth? I think deep down within every person there's a desire to believe that they're living according to truth. And I don't believe it's some kind of conceited, arrogant, I have to be right kind of thing. I just believe that every one of us want to be right. We want to think we're doing the right thing. We want to believe we're living the right way. And here's the deal. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, so we have a responsibility to take what God has gifted us with and to put it into use. We have a responsibility to connect with people, to follow Jesus' example and say, I need to build relationships. I need to invite people to connect to the church, connect to Christ, to connect to a better life. And I've been equipped with the message. How many of you have ever been in retail sales, or how many of you ever, even more so, how many of you ever sold things when you were a kid? How many of you ever got one of those kits in the mail? Mine was Christmas cards, and you had to live on a farm where your nearest neighbor's a quarter of a mile away and try to make money selling Christmas cards to all the neighbors when you're like 8 years old riding a bicycle. That's a tough one, but I ended up with a nice little die-cast 65 Mustang as a result. I was in hog heaven, but it took so long for it to get there. That 6 to 8 weeks thing, it's not always 6 to 8 weeks. Sometimes it's 12. But how many of you remember you got that kit? And that kit had everything you needed. It even have a little paper in there say, here, memorize this. Here's what you're supposed to say. These are such great Christmas cards, and they'll be such a joy. The people that you send it to will get such a blessing. And they would just give you all this stuff to say, and they would sell themselves, right? At least that's what they told you. Well, I'm convinced that when we really present Jesus the way he really is, he will draw all men and women to himself. Because I believe the real Jesus is attractive. I believe the real Jesus is charismatic and magnetic. And he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. And he said, upon this rock, that I am Jesus, the divine Son of God, if you'll put that message out there, I'll build my church. So do we have responsibility? Yes. Can we make it grow? No, that's God's job. But we do have a responsibility to be involved, to use our gifts for the common good. We do have a responsibility to take responsibility, to communicate with people and to invite them to know this Jesus, to come and find how to get to him. And given the opportunity to even share how we came to know him and how they can come to know him, the message of what God has done. I know it seems oversimplified. I know it seems very basic. And yes, we have to apply some specifics and figure out exactly how we're going to carry this ministry out. But I want you to know and understand, if we will be involved and use our gifts and talents, if we lift up Jesus, if we invite people to come to him, whether it's through the church or through our sharing the message with the person, if we put that message out to them about how much God loves them and what he has to offer them, I believe people are going to come to him. I believe he's attractive. And God can help us to do that. You believe that? And I believe that the church will grow as we lift up Jesus. So let's just live for him. Let's seize the opportunities. Let's use the gifts he's given. Let them edify each other, build each other up, encourage one another, speak positively, invite those from the outside in to know him, and share what God has done for you and what he wants to do for them. Let's stand together. In just a few moments, we're going to enjoy one of the blessings of the church, which is fellowship. We're going to sit down together over a meal. This is just a little taste. How many of you like fellowship dinners? Enjoy talking and eating, enjoying good food? You know what? This is just a little glimpse of what heaven's going to be like at the marriage supper of the Lamb. You don't want to miss out. But I'll tell you this, there's only one way to be there, and that's to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. To confess your sins, to invite him to come in, and then to commit your life to living for him, not making excuses, not follow the word of God. And that will take you where you want to go. It'll get you where you want to be. Just before we go today, every head bowed and every eye closed, we pause for just a moment. We would never want to miss an opportunity if there's someone who has a need in their life that they can find that need met in Jesus Christ. I believe that God is the answer to all things. And if you're here this morning and maybe things aren't going exactly the way you'd like for them to in your life, or maybe you don't even know exactly how they ought to go, maybe you've not really sought out God's plan for your life, Maybe you've never even given your heart to Christ. If you're here this morning and you just need a place to pray and bring yourself up to date and be current in a relationship with God and say, Lord, I want you to be in charge, to be in control. These altars are open to you. We're going to play any music. We're not going to wait a long time. But we want you to have the opportunity. If you're here this morning, I know that God loves you. I know that Jesus died for you. And I know that the Holy Spirit wants to be your constant companion if you'll just simply invite Him to have the opportunity to do so. Anybody here this morning with any need of any sort, you just need a place to pray, catch things up, get current. Anything on your heart or mind? These altars are open to you. God loves you. He wants to be a part of your life. And I trust that you've given Him that opportunity.